nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. Hi, this is Patrick Timpone, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com. That's where we're hanging out, and it would be the 19th of April, 2021. We have a great week for you. You'll meet Dr. Richard Massey in just a moment. Dr. Massey's in the green room, and he looks pretty pink, so it's not too green in there. Dr. Ray Peep will be by in about 90 minutes on this 19 April 2021 morning. Our phone lines are always open, 888-663-6386, 888-663-6386. Tomorrow, Dr. Carrie Maddai will be here. She's a feisty girl about these injectable medical things. And Dr. Glenn Swartout, will be here on Wednesday. And we got a couple other people in the works probably for this week. Have a full week for you next week. Dr. Jennifer Daniels and the other ones are escaping me because I just have the brain the size of a pea, and I'm working on that. We found out that Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, who captured all this good stuff from China and the voter fraud thing, he launched his stream today called frankspeech.com. And we played about an hour of that. He had Alan Dershowitz on, and Dershowitz and MyPillow, Mike Lindell, are suing Dominion for $1.6 billion. Dominion sued Lindell, saying he was lying about all the stuff he put in his video. And they said, no, we're not. Why don't you show us the stuff? And so we're going to sue you for $1.6 billion. And Dershowitz was on. That was pretty interesting. And it's really not about Trump or Biden or the left or the right. It's really all about free speech. Lindell is all about the First Amendment. So is Dershowitz, who says he's represented a lot of people that he believed that their ideas were stupid, but that they had the right to say it. He's probably one of the foremost free speech First Amendment attorneys in the world, and he's the lead attorney in Lindell's suit against Dominion. It's hard to imagine that they'd go after him like that if they didn't feel they had the goods that they had are correct. And if they do, then of course, then I don't know what's going to happen. Game over, because they just proved that China was in there doing the deal for this last election. But he's going to be launching his free frankspeech.com very soon, and we'll get on it. And they're going to have a whole YouTube kind of a Twitter platform thing, and it looks like great fun. And they already have like 10 million people watching this morning, so it's going to be a lot of folks. So we'll get on there and do our thing on there as well, and gather some more souls around the campfire to sing Kumbaya and whatever else we do. My name is Patrick Timpone, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Speaking of Kumbaya, this fellow's the original Kumbaya. He did it before it was cool. That's right. Back in the 70s, he was Kumbaya and everybody, and they decided he was crazy. But Dr. Richard Massey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. I see you're in a splendid mood.
We are. Yes, we are splendid. Well, Doc, the world is so bonkers. If you don't stay splendor, I tell you what, you can get sucked in like a black hole and you never come out.
Yes.
But you don't do that, because you got this black hole thing figured out. I know you. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yesterday was
Paul Revere Day.
Oh, it was.
Okay. So, so at midnight last night, you know, Paul Revere was supposedly reenacting what we're going through now.
Is that right?
You know, it hasn't really changed. You can just substitute the word British, you know, for whatever else is coming our way. You know, the British are coming, the British are coming. One if by land, two if by sea.
Right. Yeah.
And I on the opposite shore will be. Yeah, so whatever it is, it's coming our way. And it gives us a chance to choose freedom or escape. And that's our origin story, is will we choose freedom or will we choose escape? Most of us descended from people who chose escape. We did not come, my people did not come from people who chose freedom. They chose escape from tyranny, and that's different from freedom. And it's important to feel into that difference.
Okay.
One has a judgment to it, and one is free.
Okay, so when you just escape, like if people here who are getting crazy about what's going on, Dr. Massey, they say, well, I'm just going to go to Costa Rica or Belize because they have waterfalls and it'll be fine. So that would be more escape. Nothing wrong with that. But that's different.
No, nothing wrong with that, yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But so that's different, though, from kind of standing up and saying, you know what, you know, this, you taking my freedom, we've had enough of this. You know, my grandfather, it happened. I'm not putting up with it. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
So when our supposed founding fathers and all those people came over, they really didn't come over here for freedom. They came over here to escape tyranny.
Ah.
And they carried the grudge against tyrants with them in their psyche. And so when that happens, then we actually become the tyrant when we get to the new place. And we inflict tyranny on the indigenous peoples. And that's different from being motivated by freedom, which has no judgment in it. There are no good guys. There are no bad guys. We're just going to have freedom.
Oh, I like it. So that's, I think, with you heard me mention Lindell, and they're really focusing in on free speech, left, right, center, we don't care, mm-hmm. Frank speech, and his rather than left, right, you know, conservative, blah, blah, blah. I think he's very, very smart not getting pigeonholed into that, because then it's just the same thing, right? Then it's just a judgment it's against the other side. Just the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow. So let's walk through that. That's very interesting. So our ancestors, forefathers, many of them came over. They just want to escape George.
Oh yeah.
Rather than
yeah.
And what would and so when you try when you escape, you have a judgment against the one you're going to escape. It's kind of built baked in the cake. And then when you have that judgment, that's kind of a karmic thing. Then you have to work through that, and you generally work through it by screwing other people. Sorry. wasn't very romantic there, but I had to say it. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's why guys like Andrew Jackson, you know, where they, you know, they killed those Indians and all that stuff. They had this deep hatred or grudge against somebody. And they, do we have to act those things out? Is that how that works?
Well, that's what's happened so far. So when we have this, these new things like the vaccine issue, we get to choose once again whether we're going to go for freedom, this elusive thing toward freedom, which we've actually never had, or are we going to continue in the pattern of escaping tyranny? And when, you know, we just keep getting that choice over and over until we finally
get it.
Choose something that actually works.
I guess it's kind of like, that's how reincarnation works, right? We just keep going, just spinning around like crazy until we get it right. Maybe you don't have to come back to this godforsaken place. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Richard Massey's with us. If you care to join us, Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Also, 888-663-6386. So on this injectable medical device, I care not to call it a vaccine because technically it's not.
Yeah.
What would be the difference, Sir Massey, in escaping the vaccine and being free from the vaccine? What would be the different choices we have, our listeners have?
Oh, and, you know, I sent you those cards, those business cards of those two ladies that I met yesterday. I call them Freedom Lionesses.
Yeah.
See if you can put those up and get that. Hang on, let me go get this
I don't
card.
Think I can. They're too small. I could hardly read it, so I don't think we could show anybody.
Okay. I'll send it over big.
Okay.
And Jackie Schlegel, it's TexansForVaccineChoice.com.
Okay.
And you should have her on the show.
Okay.
He has a most compelling story about herself and her daughter.
Okay. Jackie Schlegel.
Schlegel. I'm holding it up there on the video for people to see it who are
Jackie Schlegel, Texans for Vaccine Choice. But we have a lot of listeners that are Texans. That doesn't matter. They can still go there and learn stuff.
Yeah, they can still go there and learn stuff for their state.
Okay.
She's friends with Sheila Hemphill, but her story is so compelling. You'll want to have her on the show.
Well, we'll do that.
And she's actually chosen freedom. And it's really inspiring. And a person can hear the difference between freedom and escape from tyranny when a person actually tells it in their own personal story. There's a significant difference. One way works, and the other way just repeats the old pattern.
Right. So, well, do you understand how it works so we could talk about it or not?
Yeah, a little bit. I've certainly lived most of my life wanting to escape from whatever, you know, discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly wanted to escape from the medical board and their dominion over the way I interacted with people in the medical domain. And I ended up getting caught in the same pattern, the same old pattern of as soon as it becomes a them versus us, as, you know, you had Rick Hansen on the show that day,
mm-hmm.
the Buddhist neuroscientist, and he said, if humans are going to survive, we have to get past that place in the brain that automatically goes to them versus us. If I can transcend that, then I have a chance to make it as a species, as a member of the human species. But if we stay in them versus us, man, the pot is boiling on that one. There's not much more space left to do that one and get away with it.
It just keeps going, kind of like, what's the classic one? Hatfield and McCoys, right?
Yes, the Hatfields and McCoys.
Your granddaddy killed my granddaddy. My granddaddy before that killed your granddaddy, so we had to kill your granddaddy, and you know.
Yeah.
Never
ends. The Montagues and the Capulets and Romeo and Juliet, you know. There's two ways for people to live together, and one is to have your kids marry and have somebody who's half of each group, and then you get to love each other through a marriage and children. Or you can shoot each other. And when we shoot each other, the person who is murdered becomes actually part of the family system of the murderer as if they were a blood relative.
Hmm.
They actually exist in the family, talk with people, walk with people, influence their decisions beneath that person's awareness. So it's actually a joining of the two families, which is why so many of us have some sympathies for the Native Americans because our ancestors were involved in murdering them. And so they are actually part of our families as if they were blood relatives.
So that's why many of us feel that compassion for, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, that's why we go to sweat lodges, and that's why I went to Sundance ceremonies in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
One of those people who was murdered by my kin, were with me and invited me there, and they meant me well. When I went there, I had incredibly powerful heart-opening experiences, and it shouldn't be that way. If it's just pure negative karma. I should have been punished in some way for being there, or shamed.
Right.
And it was exactly the opposite. Yeah. Exactly the opposite. So the thing that's greater than that karmic wheel is grace.
Grace.
And these grace people were all around and showed all of us white people an incredible grace. I'm grateful for that.
So I should not blame the Native American Indians for start smoking wacky tobacco when I was 20. So I can let that one go. That'll be good. I had to blame somebody because I got pretty wacky.
Did you see my new socks? Did they come up on the email that I sent?
I sent a picture of cannabis socks. I can't believe it.
Yes. So there's now 150 diagnoses in the state of Texas for which you can get a legal prescription for cannabis.
Really?
And I happen to work at one of the clinics, and so they have cannabis socks now. So if I'd had those in my 20s, I could have really been in fashion, you know. But they're kind of fun.
So, I mean, if we do go back, you know, we mentioned our hippie days back in the, you know, we're all one kind of thing. I mean, it's true. So it just makes sense that we are connected as soul, right? All of us, the squirrels and you and I and everybody, right? Bill Gates and you and I and we just are. So it just makes sense that it just doesn't make sense to hate anybody else, right? Look at those.
Yeah, this is the the socks, you know. I know, and I went to a respectable doctor's office, and they gave me
these. They gave you those, too. So you're working in the wacky tobacco place, are we?
Well, the prescriptions are written in another location by someone else who shall remain nameless. But,
sure.
but, you know, it's just, it's good to see that somebody who needs it can actually finally get it, and not be harassed or arrested.
I didn't realize it was legal Spiegel in Texas. Really interesting.
I didn't either until a couple of weeks ago.
Uh huh. Do you know? Is there a great deal of difference with? Obviously, there's cannabis. You know, that's got THC and all that, and you get pretty. I guess you would get stoned on that. On the candy and all, and then the CBD, which is what 0.003. Do we know? You know, I haven't done a lot of shows on that. I guess I should start about the difference between the healing properties, CBD, the THC. Do you know anything about that?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about it. But let me, while we're talking about that, let me get one other thing here. Out of my cabinet, this is one that my kids showed me, and I keep it around the house for them because I can't take any of these kind of things. But this is absolutely legal. You can order this and get this delivered to your house.
Wow, and it's just THC.
Somebody actually barely changed the molecule. They put some little side group on it. And according to my kids, it has the same effect. And then you can just, you know, have these around. So I ordered these so when my kids come and we want to go have a walk through the park, they take one of these and they enjoy walking through the park more.
Amazing.
Just so you know, that's available. And no laws regarding that at this point in time.
Well, you know, I've had some experiences with at the beginning when they put out CBD and I got some, and I think it was stronger than the 0.003. And even now, if I get some, if I would take too much CBD at 0.003, I get a little bit stoned and I don't like it, because my experience, I really learned a lot about this process by doing that, just a little bit. And you see very clearly how all it's really doing, it's interesting, all it's really doing is making a thought or an image or a feeling brighter. That's all it's doing. It's not taking you anywhere else you can't go without it. It's not doing anything, you know. It's just making everything just a little bit brighter. Does that make sense? And the challenge with that is, it's great. The challenge with that is if you have one unbright thought, which, trust me, if you have a bright thought and get into it, you're going to have an unbright thought right behind it. That's just the way it works.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's why I think it's really pretty dangerous to just be playing around with this stuff for kids. Because, if it wasn't, everybody would just be getting spiritually evolved, self-realized, God-realized, and God love them. And there wouldn't be, come on, but that's not happening. Right? Come on. It ain't happening.
Does that
make sense, Doc?
And in the world, totally does. And in the world of recall healing, the story that seems to liberate people from habitual marijuana use is addressing the question, who am I?
Yes.
Who am I for my father? Who am I for my mother? Who am I for society as the military helicopter flies over? Who am I for myself? It's the identity medication. And I began to smoke marijuana when I reached the age that my father and his brothers were when they went into World War II, because they were facing that very question, who am I? They were looking at existential dread, and that never got worked through. You know, they went through the war, they kind of suppressed all that and set up a life for their children. And so it was left up for the children and the grandchildren to face that existential dread question, who am I? And it was unbearable for me. Hmm. So I medicated a lot. I stayed stoned a lot because I didn't want to feel that, because I had no answer for that. Who am I? I'm somebody who deserves to be killed, or I've got to kill somebody else. And those were the thoughts that would go through and the feelings. And the pot seemed to make those less.
And I would argue now, after looking at it for many years, that these hallucinogens, I don't care what they are going to work against the possibility of ever discovering who you really are, because you have this, let's do a show or whatever, you know, and you think that's who you are, and that's just the mind just being silly, and you could go for your whole lifetime thinking that's who you are. And that's not who we are. We are spiritual beings at the back of it all. You know, the back of it all. No mind, nothing. You know, no emotions. And that's who we are. And that's our job, I think. And that's why I think, anything that's going to... I don't know, what's the word? What is caffeine and chocolate? What is it?
Stimulants?
Any stimulant is, again, you know, any stimulant is difficult for that, right? Even any stimulant. Mm-hmm. Now, alcohol, which is more of a, what is more of a?
Depressant.
A more depressant. Yeah. But even that's going to, that'll just take you further away from who you really are, right?
It looks like it works that way for a whole lot of people. And
it was very eloquent the way you said that, yeah. Looks like it works that way for a whole lot of people.
They used to say in AA, they used to say, you know, being drunk is the closest thing to a spiritual experience that isn't a spiritual experience. And it's actually called spirits. I mean, you know, alcohol store. You know, liquor and spirit, you know, it's like, we could probably put on some special glasses and see some critters lurking around. in the cooler.
Spirits. I got some spirits there.
John Bartley, you know? Yeah.
Wow. You went to AA?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for AA.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. The people that I met there, I was in a pretty deep hole. And, there's a lot of love, at least in the rooms that I found myself in. And that's what really pulls us out. There is so much love there that I realized that, unlike what I thought I learned in Sunday school, which is where, you know, God is up on the mountaintop and got to get to the mountaintop and you might find God. God is in the bottom of the shame holes too. When a person is just in a biggest, you know, lowest place of their life. And that's one of the places God likes to hang out. And it's pretty remarkable to meet God there.
Hmm. Well, Sister Mary Margaret Catherine at Our Lady of Perpetual Payments, she told me God was on a mountaintop, so I believe that. You know, that's what it is.
Our Lady of Perpetual Payment, I love that. Yeah.
That's my favorite school. Dr. Richard Matthews. I haven't said that in a long time. It's funny. Dr. Richard Massey's with us. My name is Patrick Timpone, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like to join the show, 888-663-6386. Email Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. We've been loving colostrum. I've been doing a lot of colostrum lately. I don't know what's up. Years ago, I recall David Wolf suggesting that all foods, superfoods, actually just gives our body information. And this came out the last time we talked with Daniel Vitalis about colostrum.
I imagine people being born with an unformatted immune system. And colostrum helps to format that, helps your body recognize viral and bacterial invaders early. And it also helps to restore and heal the lining of the gut that's damaged in so many people and one of the sources of inflammation and low immunity. So it restores that gut lining at the same time that it educates the immune system on how to better fight off pathogens that get into our bodies.
And it's pretty cool too, I think, because moms can put it in the smoothies quite easily for the kids. And it's yummy and they get some good stuff.
Yeah, it's really great to blend into smoothies. You can make chocolates with it. You can put it into anything that you're cooking. And so it's easy to get into your kids and into other family members. It tastes great. And it's actually very versatile in the kitchen. So you can use it in place of a lot of other products.
Yes, and it's very tasty and fun and easy to use. Sometimes just late at night, you can take warm water with colostrum in there before bed. And it's a great product. A lot of benefits. Click on any Surthrival link. Colostrum, OneRadioNetwork.com. Indeed. And just a wonderful company. We have colostrum, we have pine pollen, shaga, reishi, the bone broth, digestive bitters, some CBD oil. We talked about CBD. He's got a great CBD oil there. Daniel does. And also vitamin D3K2, vitamin DK3, whatever. But it's vitamin D and K2, the great, great combination. And it really is important to have vitamin D. We get it from the sun, but, you know, if you live up north of St. Louis, and during certain time, most of the time of the year in the winter, you just don't get enough mojo, and we think vitamin D is a pretty safe thing to go, a way to go. Of course, you know, somebody will probably come out with something somewhere along the line, say, oh, it's terrible, and it'll kill you, but, you know, up until then, we'll go with it. But that's Daniel Vitalis, vitamin D3, and also all the great colostrum, really great. Dr. Richard Ulrey, authority on minerals, talks about gut bacteria, making the vitamins, and absorbing the minerals, how it all works.
We need vitamins from our gut bacteria so we can absorb minerals, and then minerals provide a resonant frequency. And those minerals carry these frequencies into the body And multiple minerals will give you a frequency that allows all of our proteins to have individual distinct frequencies, giving that three-dimensional structure. This is where Wayne's products, Living Stream, and that's the only primary products I carry. When you do a stool test and it says you don't have any bifidobacteria, well, if you don't have any bifidobacteria, you're not going to absorb certain minerals. If you don't have any lactobacillus, you're not going to absorb certain minerals.
Here's an idea of a couple of the Living Streams you can take for what we're talking about here. The Bifido, Living Streams Multi-Blend, and the Living Minerals. So you're getting the minerals, the Bifido, and the lactobacillus. And these special probiotics and minerals are all in human DNA form, and they are living alive. In our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. Folks, we think these are some of the best probiotics out there ever. They're just alive. They're alive. And you can check on our website and jump on there and get whatever you want. We had Dr. Stephanie Senefon last week and talked about her new book, Toxic Legacy, about glyphos. And I'll tell you what, if you really... Wow, you listen to that show, because I think you're going to be more and more motivated to just eat organic and also to take some good probiotics like our Living Streams, because everything's happening there, the minerals, and we'll have Dr. Olry back on probably a week after next and talk more about this stuff. He really understands the gut microbiome and the minerals and how it all works, but it's important, and it's very difficult not to get glyphos unless you live in a totally organic world and don't go anywhere, you know. But we all go out a little bit. So get the Living Streams, and that'll help to, just kind of keep you up to date.
We are listener-supported One Radio Network.
Dr. Richard Massey is here, Richard Massey, MD. It is docmassey@gmail.com if you'd like to contact him and talk to him, and you'll get off the emails, and you'll be crazier than when you started, but that'll be fun, and it won't cost you much. So. He'll take you places, you'll say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But that's where, go ahead.
Yeah, if people are on Instagram, they can do Doc Massey 1949.
Huh?
And they'll see some pretty flower pictures from the yard, and also photos of the ultraviolet IV that reversed the COVID syndrome and all the people that came to see me, like it has since the 1930s and the 1940s, reversing polio and every other infection that happened. Just so you know, and it's Richard Massey on Facebook, although I think I've been hacked on Facebook. So if you see something that doesn't make sense on there, just, go to the Instagram, and I don't know about those things. I don't know how to fix things or do things. But that's where my photos are on social media, if you want to look. I try to say as much as I can without getting arrested again.
Yeah.
Something useful. But yeah, I think I've mentioned this before. I've had several of the COVID people come, and they all did great with the IVs of ultraviolet. And I also do the IV peroxide when people are really sick. And I think you had sent me that thing about nebulized peroxide and Mercola advocating that. And I think that's a great idea. I actually met Charles Farr at his clinic and went to learn from him. He was the one who got the Nobel Prize nomination in medicine for his work with influenza and peroxide.
Influenza?
And he showed that influenza, and there are many influenza articles going around, and he gave peroxide and reversed all the influenza. And so after the Nobel Prize nomination year was over, he got audited by the IRS aggressively every year, which was the corporate thank you for discovering something that would make antibiotics obsolete. I got to meet old Charles Farr. And interestingly, Patrick, he actually had to have a surgery, and after that surgery, he went septic and went into a septic coma. And his wife finally snuck in some peroxide and squirted it in his IV fluid.
Wow.
And that's what brought him to the coma, right? But when he came out, he wrote a little booklet, and he said he went to a place where everybody he loved was there.
Really?
And he was totally 100% accepted for who he was and loved for who he was. And he said, please, if I ever go into a coma again, don't bring me back, because I'm not coming back. I want to go. And he died shortly after that. And he died in the wonder of that place, you know. It was really a powerful thing to witness.
Hmm. Yeah, there's so many people over the years that have had these death experiences. They're not near death, they're death. You have essentially died, you just come back. And that's, so don't be afraid, it'll be fun. You'll meet friends, it'll be good.
Yes, yes. And over the break, as you were talking, you know, it comes to me to say it this way, the medical board and the vaccine industry and all of that, they're reminders that this energy of escaping tyranny is still with us. And these are the forms that are here to remind us that that energy traveled with us and is still looking to be transformed.
Okay, so I hear you saying the reason many were all experiencing, you know, this injectable stuff and masking and silliness is because we're all still just maybe detoxing a lot of this energy. And this is how we can.
Yeah.
So then we can let it go more easily when we
honor those who came before us, who were the original escapers from tyranny, and we have a hard conversation with them and ask them, is it okay with you guys if we actually experience freedom, even though all you got to experience was escape from tyranny? Is it okay with you if we build a life based on actual freedom, where we're not judging anybody as being evil, where we're not running away from evil? Is it okay? And just wait for them to answer in our heart if it's okay with them or not, because we wouldn't be here on this continent if they hadn't come here first. So we have a hard conversation with them.
Ask them,
and this is for the biological level. You know, we're looking at biology here. Is it okay for my biology to live on this land in freedom? Of course, spiritually, we're already all free.
Yes.
But the biology, we want the biology to walk that out.
Yeah, karmically, biologically, I get the feeling that subconsciously these kinds of questions and doubts are in our body.
Mm-hmm.
Are in our body.
Yeah.
And that's why we still kind of question it, if it's okay for us just to be absolutely, totally, perfectly healthy. Can I do that? I mean, is that possible? Most people don't think it's possible. They don't think it's possible.
Right, right. And I would suggest that that feeling that it's not possible is actually a loyalty to those who live their life never recognizing and realizing that possibility. Yeah. And so when I have a hard conversation with them, what I discover is that from their heart, where they are today, pure soul, pure heart, they actually want me to experience wholeness, whether they got to or not. And when I connect with that, I no longer have that old loyalty pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to live less than in memory of them. I can remember them in a different way. I can remember them as the source of freedom rather than the source of escape from tyranny and less than and not worthy.
Not worthy, yeah. I had an old gypsy one years ago in Austin. He lived in a purple school bus in the Oak Hill flea market with two wives. I'm serious, man. He had his long beard, and I was on the radio KLBJ at the time, and I think this was 84, 83, 86. Had this fellow on, and he said, you have to go see this gypsy there in Dripping Springs, you know. I mean, in Oak Hill. Got to go see him. So, of course, I went, you know. And, oh, my God. He had this little shack there, and he would do tarot cards. And all he did was drink beer. This is all he did was drink beer. But this guy, he had the clearest kind of blue eyes ever, you know? And he was more present than anybody I'd ever seen in my life, you know, experienced. He was just there. You know, he didn't care what happened 2 minutes from now or a year from now or 5 years from now. He just didn't care. And he'd just say, what's going on, young fella? And we actually got to be very good friends, and I learned a lot from him. But the reason I bring the story up is that he said, never question self. Never question yourself. And he was really, you know, it's a very important thing, because most of humanity are questioning themselves, right? We all do. Can I do that? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't do that. No, if I do that, what'll happen? Or if I do that, I found that I have to choose my path, what I want to do, and do it. You know, if it's something silly, it's going to show up, and I'll say, well, I don't want to do that. But if I question myself, it's not going to even try, right? You just don't even try.
Yeah.
Never, right. Never question self.
Yes. And you're right in tune there with lots of great people like Byron Katie, who says the thing to question is beliefs.
Beliefs. Yeah.
We don't question ourselves. We question our beliefs, because most of those are just innocently inherited patterns. And they're actually not real. But I'll act as if they're real, and I'll think my beliefs are myself.
Yes.
I'll have those things confused. Mm-hmm. Until I actually question the belief and see that actually the opposite belief is what's operating in my subconscious. And that's like, oh, look at that. And once I see it, it changes.
You know, I've been doing since February 1st. By the way, we're talking with Dr. Richard Massey. If you'd like to be on the show, Patrick at One Radio Network. We have some great emails we're going to get to for Doc that came in this morning. I've been doing some really deep stretching since February 1st. So almost every night, sometimes 1, 2, 3 hours. I mean, it's just been amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, just, and nothing special, Doc, just anywhere where it's tight, you know, anywhere, I just keep going and digging in and breathing. And it's, and you know, I've been seeing images and, doubts, old doubts or old ideas, and I've been seeing some things from 50 years ago that just kind of, and you can do this if you stay present, right, in my consciousness.
Yeah.
So I got a feeling that these things are stored in our body. I can't prove that, but I think they are, because I've been detoxing and feeling better, and whoa, man, does that make sense? How can that?
Totally makes sense. Yeah, congratulations on that. Yeah, that was an inspiration. That came from somewhere.
You know, I got up one morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just knew I had to go on my yoga mat and just start stretching. Now, come on. You know, where does that come from?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa. Wasn't on the internet, I'll tell you that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
No, yeah, it's really wonderful. Really, you legs, everything, just any part that's got a little bit of a little bit of tightness, I just keep moving into it. And
my goodness.
And you can really see the inextricably connectedness between pleasure and pain. When you really get deep in there, you can see it. It's almost the same thing. Now that'll make your head explode, boy. They said, wait a minute, no, there's pleasure and there's pain. No, they're all this, it's both the same thing at the end of the day, I think.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. You're on to something there.
Something. Might as well do something in the middle of the night. You know, I don't sleep, so, you know. Might as well be productive. Oh, man, it's great. Here's an email for Dr. Richard Massey. I was wondering if Richard has any suggestions for moi with my stage 2 prolapse. Ah, 2 kids. I'm only 40. Is there anything in we call healing that he could kind of come up with to point me to? I'm doing exercises and eating a lot of piggy collagens from Jennifer Daniels. Anyway, can it be reversed? Question mark. Thank you both for your amazing work and for what you've been doing. Oh, thank you.
Wow, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to flip this up, and of course, you can find this on the internet as well. Dietrich Klinghart's 5 levels of healing.
Leave it up for a minute. Dietrich. I'll give you a close shot. Leave it up. Okay, you can even move closer if you want. There you go. 5 levels of healing. All right.
Yeah, that's Dietrich's. And the idea is that, of course, we're healing all the time. There's no such thing as not healing.
Hmm.
So if I'm healing all the time, then the issue is to balance the healing, not to try to get myself to heal, because I'm already doing that. That's all the body knows how to do is heal. So if I'm going to address an issue, which level would I want to address? You know, would I want to look at the physical level, which I'm guessing she's saying a prolapsed uterus?
Mm-hmm.
Would I want to be looking at something like wearing a pessary and doing Kegel exercises? Would I want to go up to level 2 and do a Frankenhauser plexus block? Would that help? Would I want to do some other injections to tighten up ligaments in the area? Would I want to go up there to level 3 and look at all the personal stories that have to do with my uterus that may remain unreconciled? And do I want to go to level 4, which is about family beliefs and stories that relate to the uterus, which is also my first home? So if we look at that, you know, what is it about a home? What is it about the place where people come from? And we would want to look for a story there for healing if we went to that level. But yeah, I'm not an expert on women's medicine, that's for sure. And I just know those basics about Kegel exercises and wearing a pessary and things like that. So
just on the pure physical, the Kegels or Kegels, those help?
Yeah, I've heard that they help some people with that. But I don't know. I've never followed a group of women who do certain things to see what their outcomes are.
Yeah. I don't know much about it either. I do remember that when I was born, I just came out because I ran out of womb.
You need the drums and cymbals on that one.
Somebody sent me a meme about that. I thought it was cute. I ran out of womb.
Yes.
Funny, huh?
Yes.
So I guess piggy collagen would be good too, right? Why not?
Oh, yeah. Anything that strengthens the structural parts of the body. And so if a person thinks about it, like you can make up a story like after someone in the family was born, the house got blown down in a tornado or a hurricane or a flood. The house got moved. Came out of its place where it was supposed to be. That would be a uterus not staying in its place in the body after birth. And those would be the kind of stories that I would look for.
We're going to have Dr. Jennifer Daniels on next Monday. Dr. Shiva, you know Dr. Shiva? He's cool. He's going to be on next week. Carrie Made will be here tomorrow. Do you know her? Her work?
I don't.
Oh yeah,
I don't.
She's cool, man. She's like a fireball. She doesn't care what she says. and she's a doc, and she's all over these injectable things. I don't know. Do you think any of this, these adverse things from these are coming out in mainstream? Do you watch any mainstream or see any, go to any mainstream websites? I know that they've canceled the, for now, they put the J&J on hold. And I think also AstraZeneca, many places around the world, they're not letting them do that one because of the blood clots. This thing is not going well for them. Boy, amazing.
Yeah, and honestly, I hear what you're saying. And the other piece is I remember my first time, I can't say exactly when it was, but I remember when I first realized that if I turn it around and say that the goal of the corporate medical industry is to thin the population, when I made that switch, it's like a whole bunch of puzzle pieces fell into place. Things that I couldn't figure out before, like, why are we deciding to do this? Why are we deciding to do that? Because none of it was pro-life. None of it was pro-freedom. And it was like, can't people see that? Gosh, we've just got to help people see that. But then one day, I think I was probably doing a Byron Katie worksheet where you turn the beliefs around. It's like, what if the goal is the old goal that's been with humans for as long as we can remember, to reduce the population, especially the population of them, you know, whoever them are.
Whoever them are, yeah.
Yeah, we need less of them. You know, we're pretty sure of that. And if that's true, then this is working really great for them. Because people are dying, because people are being crippled, because people's imaginations are being put into a prison. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that when I start from that point, so many things make sense that I couldn't make sense of before.
Yeah. Well, I think there's plenty of, you know, I think there's plenty of documentation and evidence that that's going on. And it's, I wonder what that could be about. How do we create a bunch of people that want to kill us? I mean.
So I was working with someone just the other day, and of course, I'm doing Gestalt exercises now, classes every week at Casa de Luz, to help reverse judgments. But we did a constellation with a friend the other day, and there was some pretty dark stuff in it, but it got reconciled, and she was feeling really good, like a weight had been lifted. But she has Irish heritage, and so once again, we looked up the so-called Irish potato famine.
Oh.
And of course, the Irish potato famine, I thought growing up with that language, that just meant, these poor dumb Irish people, all they could think to do was grow potatoes. And everybody knows that's not a full nutritious thing. How could they be so dumb all of a sudden? And go back and read the history of it. 1 million people were starved to death in Ireland between 1845 and 1850. Because the British came through and took all of their food.
They took
by
the food?
Military.
They just took their food.
Yeah, they took their food. They took all the livestock.
Wow.
And paid off a debt to the French, I think, is what it was. The royals owed a debt. And so they just went over to the Irish and took all their food. So it was a forced starvation. It was not a famine. It wasn't like God came through and said, no, there's no more rain this year. There's a bunch of locusts.
I'm going to starve you guys.
And 1 million people died in 5 years. They starved to death. Of course, it's classified as they died of diseases. No, they were forcefully starved by military force. And this has been with us for a long time. You know, if you go back to the Cain and Abel story, I mean, it's, you know, there's only like, you know, four people on the planet at this time in the story. And this still, the globe isn't big enough for all of us kind of thing. You know, this town isn't big enough for all of us. So I'm going to take a rock and bash your head in. That kind of thing. And it's like, we haven't sorted out as a species how to transcend that energy and still stay in our biology. We just haven't. So it comes back, you know, and we get another chance.
And we transcend the energy by forgiving them, realizing that somehow we created it?
So it looks like for biology, we don't need to forgive. All we need to do, of course I say all we need to do, what needs to happen is a dropping of judgment. If judgment is dropped, if I no longer judge you or judge the British or judge the vaccine makers, I no longer judge them, then I'm free of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not caught in that wheel anymore.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing, honestly, is not okay. It'll never be okay. I'm not going to say that I forgive them for what they do. Even Jesus didn't forgive the people. He asked God to do it. He said, Father, forgive them. He didn't say, oh, I forgive all you guys who are putting nails in my feet. Even Jesus didn't forgive. He asked God to do it for him. Hey, would you forgive these people? They don't know what they're doing. I think that's legitimate. Ask God to forgive the vaccine maker. But my job on this planet is to drop judgment against them. And once I do that, I become an adult who can take action. Like this Jackie Schlegel lady who's going to the Capitol building.
Mm-hmm.
She walks in like an adult who can take action. Because she's not judging them. She's standing up for freedom. She's not trying to escape tyranny.
Excellent. I like it. Dr. Richard Massey, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, Glenn Swarthout. It's going to be here on Wednesday. He's in Hawaii where they have pure cane sugar and other things.
Wow.
And Noni. He's a good one. This is from Mar and Maui Waui, too, if you're into that. This is from Marga for Dr. Massey. What does Recall Healing say about hip osteoarthritis? My left hip doesn't have any cartilage left. I haven't gone for hip replacement, as I know it's a terribly invasive operation, but I'm now almost unable to walk. Any other ways to get out of this tunnel apart from the hip replacement?
Oh, yeah. So a lot of people find physical modalities. I've injected hips with ozone. It helps. You can inject hips with PRP. There's a lot of people doing that, the platelet-rich plasma that has lots of stem cells in it. In some places, you can take your own stem cells out and inject them back into the hip, and it'll regrow some cartilage. The brain dissolves the cartilage on purpose because my subconscious is devaluing the movement of my hip. And that's the whole basis of how biology works. So it's like a bank investment. You want to take your money away from places that isn't working and invest it in places that's giving a dividend. So if my subconscious says that my hip movement no longer valuable, I'll take the cartilage minerals and I'll send them to my brain or to my heart, some place that my brain says that's a good investment. The hip is no longer a good investment. So our job, if you and I had a session, or if you had a session with Michelle Schrader, would be to discover what is that story in your personal life or your family life or your subconscious concluded. We don't need cartilage in the hip anymore. It's a bad investment. And then we reverse that, and then the brain just rebuilds the cartilage.
Good for the brain.
I know. It's hard to BS the body, man. It's an accountant of everything in my life and my family's life, and it doesn't let us off the hook.
Yeah.
We can fool some people, but we cannot fool the subconscious and the body.
Fascinating, isn't it? Wow.
So it's usually about something in my life that's too powerful to stand up against. So I recently worked with a kid who had to have the tip of his femur actually removed because his brain away not only the cartilage, but the bone itself. But he actually came from a family where there was murder within the family system.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful that no one could stand against it. That's a hip story. The other hip story is sexual conflict. Because the hips function to allow sex and conception. And that's really important for biology. So you look for stories of forced sex, sex that was painful, sex where I'm being forced to do things I don't want to do. And that can be for my personal self or in the previous 3 to 4 generations. So, you know, if I can't move my hip, then I can't be forced to go into those situations and positions.
We didn't learn that sex stuff much in grade school. I don't know if they left that part out. I don't know.
Yes. Sure. Our school, too.
I tell you what.
Probably the only two schools, right, Patrick? Everybody else was learning the real thing. That's your school and my school.
We missed out on that part, you know. The spermie and the egg, if it got together before marriage, that would be like a mortal sin. And you would, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you enjoyed it, it would be like double mortal sin. Right?
Yes.
And then if she enjoyed it, too, it would be a triple mortal sin. You'd never get out of hell.
Yeah. I love that Wallace Shawn segment I sent to you years ago from that Heaven Help Us movie.
What a great one.
He's doing that talk. Junior high school dance.
What's the fellow's name?
YouTube, y'all.
What's the fellow's name that did that? Who's the guy?
Yeah, Wallace Shawn.
Wallace Shawn, yeah.
The guy from the Princess Bride, and y'all can all Google that on YouTube. Wallace Shawn, Heaven Help Us.
Heaven Help Us.
Where he talks about the feast of lust, and he's scaring all these little junior high school kids before they start their first dance.
Just a great scene. Just wonderful. It was the same fellow that did my dinner with Andre, that fellow.
Yes.
Yeah, just great. Stay right there, Doc. We're going to do a little commercial here on OneRadioNetwork.com. And what am I doing? Oh, here's a picture. If you're watching on video, if you're on audio, I'll just tell you about it. It's called the AquaCure Brown's Gas Machine. And it's a very interesting technology. I've been doing it now for, I guess about 18 months or so. I just love it. I breathe 2-3 hours every day. I'm able to work on it or breathe it when I'm working on my screenplay and book and even doing yoga and stretching in the middle of the night. I'll breathe it. You can get a little 25-foot cannula and just breathe it. And it also has then the Brown's gas has this fourth phase of water kind of thing that you can drink the water as well. So it's a very powerful technology. It's been used a lot in Japan and China. You can see some peer-reviewed studies in Molecular Hydrogen Institute.com. And one of the best antioxidants ever. And we believe now, since we're not germ theory guys around here, that all disease is really oxidative stress, oxidized by molecules, which is by poisons and toxins and chemicals and glyphos and stinking thinking and heavy metals and stuff, mercury, aluminum. We think that that's what happens, that it oxidizes the biomolecules. So this is why this hydrogen machine is very, very powerful. Here's George to talk about it a bit.
This was previously with George Wiseman about his AquaCure machine making hydrogen, gas, and water out of the same hose. Listen.
The body accepts that gas and uses it to heal everything. It's like the fountain of youth. It's astonishing the amount of ailments. In fact, in scientific studies, and they have over 1,000 scientific studies now, they're showing that it either helps the body heal directly or indirectly from virtually every ailment that ails any water-based life form. But it works just as well on animals and plants and lizards and birds and everybody.
And you're saying this because this machine called the AquaCure split into five different parts.
Six.
I got hydrogen, oxygen, electro, enhanced water, water vapors, monatomic hydrogen. What else?
And monatomic oxygen.
Oh, the monooxygen. And that's what your machine does? It splits it?
Yes, it makes that mixture inside the machine, and all that comes out a single hose, the same hose.
A gas?
As a gas, in gaseous form, yes.
And you breathe it or you put it in water?
So if you bubble the Brown's gas into this water,
yeah,
into, let's say, distilled water, it will go to a negative ORP. And when you drink that, it actually gives your body an electrical energy, these electrons. Instead of sucking energy from you, it gives it. So you can have water that is healthful and not healthful just by the energy that's in the water.
You want to get one? Me too. Ours is on the way. Check this out. Lifetime warranty on the machine itself, and then a 1 year, no questions asked, money back guarantee if you like the machine within a year. I mean, have you ever heard of a warranty like that? The AquaCure. Use promo code ONERADIO, promo code ONERADIO for a 10% discount. It's in our store on oneradionetwork.com. Oh, that commercial is a bit ancient. I said mine's on the way. It was a year and a half ago, but I played that one because it gives you the scoop that, you know, George knows what he's doing, and it's really fun. I think you'll enjoy it. And, you know, lifetime warranty and a 1 year, no questions asked, money back. I mean, you got nothing to lose. If you don't like it, send it back and get your money back. I'm not sending mine back. It's great. The hydrogen machine, promo code ONERADIO, 10% off. I've been doing more sulfur the last 2 or 3 months than I've done in my life. And the more I do, the more I like it. I do a tablespoon twice a day. Check it out. People are getting manic and taking all these stuff because they don't have sulfur in their brain or
something? That's correct. And there's reasons for that. Kid out there in the street buying illegal drugs, all caused from that. Every bit of it. The manic depression, suicidal tendencies, all caused from a lack of sulfur to the brain.
Whoa.
Because the glyphosate stopped the uptake of sulfur from the body to the brain. There's a lymph system that runs from the digestive tract to the brain directly, and all they were finding is sulfur. It goes straight to the brain because we're a sulfur being. We have to have the sulfur to keep us sane. If you don't have sulfur going to your brain, you become manic. If you look at all the drugs that they give people, they put artificial sulfur in there. It's a molecule, artificial, to trick the brain to think that you've got sulfur in your bloodstream.
Well, we have a way to get sulfur into your bloodstream, and then you don't have to trick your brain. Just put it in there. With our pure organic sulfur, you can click an order right on our website. Three prices, United States, Canada, worldwide. It's the real deal. Makes little crystals in the glass. Living Sulfur on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source. One Radio Network. Know the source. The source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Bet Your Boots, Baby, with Dr. Richard Massey. Yeah, Dr. Senef, boy, she was, and she explained more and more how these glyphos screw up the sulfur cycle. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be something if someday we say, you know, these glyphos since 1950 or 60, whenever they started, maybe that's why there's so much craziness going on with ADD, and it could tie right in there, Doc, you know? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's a brave new world, baby. Here's one for you. Good morning, Patrick and Dr. Massey. There's a saying that when a person has cold feet, they're having a fear of doing something. Yeah. Oh, she has cold feet. She didn't want to get married. I'm suffering with physical cold feet. How would Dr. Massey approach this problem using his method of holistic medicine from David?
Wow. Cold feet.
Cold feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we think of all those levels, level 1, 2, 3, and 4, so I would go to the levels 3 and 4 when we're looking at the recall healing, German new medicine. We'd come in, we'd look at your blood, see if there's anything really off, do the heart biofeedback monitor while you're watching your blood, And as you start talking about your cold feet, your little EM Wave 2 device from the Institute of Heart Math, which I suggest everybody get one who really wants to look at things, the heart monitor will say which path to follow to find out the story that's important for you. The feet are where we contact Mother Earth. So we ask about your relationship with your mother. So we would do a little exercise where you imagine yourself and your mother and see if y'all are close and cuddly, or see if there's a distance between you. And then we would work to make it to where you can at least imagine a warm mother. That contact with your mother is actually a thing of warmth, an experience of warmth. And there's a lot of ways to do that. You can write a resentment list about your mother. Just write a page of everything you didn't like about her, and then when you're done, go outside and burn it. And then write a page of gratitude for your mother. And typically it's one page of gratitude for every month you were in the womb.
One page of, and oh, then, I like that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And then imagine yourself and your mother again and see if you feel closer and more warm. If you can imagine yourself as an infant in her arms and feel the warmth of your mother. And if not, see if you can picture yourself in the womb where, of course, you were definitely warm, where your feet were definitely warm, where you were getting that umbilical cord IV 24/7, the little IVs that cost $6,500 to get a very tiny bit of that, and the cord blood plasma IVs, which are very rejuvenating for people. It's all about us and mommy, the biology and the feet. That's where I would look first.
So anything going on with the feet, it's generally about Mother Earth, and that's mom?
Uh-huh. It's generally about where I contact mom.
Where I contact
what is my
mom.
Relationship with mom. So, for instance, people who have a biological longing, and these are all innocently inherited. These are not character defects or problems of the person. I innocently inherited these patterns through my family. So someone with flat arches, for instance, is carrying the energy of, I've got to stay glued to my mother. And there will be a story of somebody who got separated from their mother and was killed or injured because of that. So somebody later on has flat feet to say, we should have stayed glued completely to mom. You know, that would have saved us, right? People where it's the opposite will have high arches. Like, let's get as much of our foot away from our mother as possible. Hammer toes is the same way. When the toes start lifting up away from the earth, that's like, I'm getting away from mom. And this is a painful contact. And it's an innocently inherited thing. And when we get to that, then the foot can turn normal, amazingly. Can actually change.
Numbness in the toes or stuff like that, same thing?
Sure. Yeah, I'd rather not feel contact with my mother.
Oh. Rather not feel. So if the physiological story goes from also being thyroid, maybe low thyroid can cause cold hands and feet, how would that connect up if that's accurate? And maybe it's not?
Yeah, no. So thyroid, the two big things of thyroid, I would go first to the story of injustice.
Injustice.
So thyroid carries the stories of injustice. So if there was some injustice that happened around a child and a mother, that would tie in there. A lot of us, quite frankly, in this culture, innocently inherited this idea that blaming our mothers is a strategy for living and freedom and independence, when actually it's the opposite. But we innocently inherit that. We innocently inherit our grandmother or grandfather's resentment of our mother. We don't even know we do that until we do a family constellation and see it. So anytime somebody looks at their mother and says, oh, she was cold, she didn't parent me right, or she didn't care enough, whether that's factually correct or not, I've just taken the position biologically of a grandparent, because the grandparent is the only one in biology who has the authority to criticize the mother.
Hmm.
The child does not have the authority to criticize their parent. They're there to receive love and leave the story with the big people. That's the big people's story. And it was in process before I got here, you know. Leave that with them and get the blessing to go in my life and drop the judgment. If I'm judging my mother or father, I'm being a grandparent in my rank. I'm presuming to be higher ranked biologically than I am. And the penalty for that is not pleasant. It's going to show up in various parts of the body. It's going to show up in my relationships with money, with my career, relationships with other people. Those just aren't going to go well.
Hmm. That's fun. That's great. Here's one. In June, I will turn 70. This is from Lewis. I'm 6 feet, 180, excellent physical condition and health for approximately 6 years. I followed a vegan diet. And then in 2016 or 17, eggs, butter, cheese, and fish were reintroduced into my diet. For approximately the past 18 months, I've been experiencing a consistent case of erectile dysfunction, and I'm desirous of and very much of sexual activity. Lastly, I've noticed a consistent condition of lower back pain. How would you look at this situation, Doc? Hmm. Doing good, and all of a sudden, Mr. Happy's not happy anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, we go back to Dietrich's levels, and we look at physical levels, so we look at blood. If the person has a lot of heavy metals, about half the people regain their function after chelation,
really?
Interestingly. Hmm. Putting magnesium in, cleaning out all the inside of the blood vessels. Then on level two, you can look at getting a Frankenhauser plexus block, which resets the nerves that control the penis and the other genitalia parts. And then you can go up to personal timelines. So I would ask this person, when did this start? And what was the biggest conflict that they were facing when it began? What was going on? Where is the fear or the judgment that happened around that conflict? And if they can't remember, I ask them, what happened when you were half that age? What was the conflict that you were facing at half that age? People can often remember that better than the one recently. And they go, oh, yeah, that's when there was this painful split up with somebody. And what they're basically saying is that I would not have gone through this much pain if we hadn't had this deep sexual union. And so subconsciously, the subconscious says, dude, I can help you with that. I can make sure you don't have any more sexual union on the anniversary of that.
I'll take care of that one for you, baby.
Yeah, and then you won't suffer like you did at half your age.
Wow.
That heartbreak never happened because you're not going to get hooked up that way. And then once that's reconciled, then Mr. Happy gets his permission to go back and get sexually bonded with somebody again.
Hmm.
But Mr. Happy's not going to go there.
You're not going to go there. Can this fellow and other people, can they email you at docmassey@gmail.com and work with you for these kind of things? You do that long distance?
Sure. Uh-huh. I still do some phone consultations and Zoom and things like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Finally, because we got to go, it's time. I saw Dr. Massey's YouTube video last week where he was conducting a session with a group. It was really fascinating. Does he plan to post any more? This is Paul in the UK.
Well, thanks, Paul. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to do the camera angles and things, and some of those things are kind of private, and only a few people really are interested in having that part of their lives shown. But thank you, and I appreciate that, and I would love to get those kind of things out so people can see what their options for freedom from judgment could look like and feel like. And that seems important to me too. So thanks for watching. And we plan to do some more from Casa de Luz.
From Casa de Luz, the macro neurotic capital of Dripping Spring, or of Austin. It's a great spot. Boy, they got terrific food there, don't they? Man.
Yeah, they do.
I love the food. Well, Doc, thanks for coming on once a month with us. I'll come by and visit sometime. I keep saying that. I'll call you and I'll come in for lunch sometime and we'll have some fun and chat it up a bit. Solve all the world's problems. Yeah. So you tell folks where they can find you again on Twitter. What's it called?
On Instagram. It's Doc Massey 1949. And it's just Richard Massey on Facebook. And you've already put out the email. And I have some YouTubes under Richard Massey. And I can't remember my BitChute password, but I do have a video or two on BitChute.
Well, folks shouldn't need a password. They can just go BitChute.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Just put in Richard Massey.
And Meridian has some of the older ones on her website, which is awakeninghealth.com. And you click on media, and you'll find some of my old YouTubes on there.
All right, kiddo, you take care. Happy spring. Beautiful day here in Dripping Springs. I bet it's going to be nice there, too, in Austin, right?
It is. I may go snorkel a bit, and thank you for all that you do.
Oh, my pleasure.
Bringing real news out, Patrick, real news.
Well, it's fun. Thanks. All right, kid, I love you. We'll see you real soon, all right? Thank you.
All right. Bye for now.
Bye for now. We'll see you real soon. And Dr. Ray Pete coming up in about 5 minutes. If you're online live, stay right there. Don't you go away.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.